From the BBC, this is Radio Leeds. Peter Levy in conversation on BBC Radio Leeds.
Hi, welcome back. This is Friday afternoon and it's time now for Real Lives. This afternoon, my guest is one of our most talented actors. Peter Salas has done just about every aspect of the theatre, even playing on Broadway with the musical Baker Street. His list of TV and films is breathtaking and one of the fullest biographies you'll ever see. But it's one character that made him a household face in this country. The character is Clegg. The TV series is Last of the Summer Wine, which is now the longest-running television comedy series ever. Some testament to Peter and the rest of the team on the programme. I'm delighted to say that to go through his life, Peter Salas is with me now. Peter, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Peter.
Nice to talk to you.
And you. Can you hear me all
yes,
right?
You're coming through.
Because I'm all alone here.
All alone?
Yes, I can just see the River Thames through the window. It's not actually raining now, and it said on your weather that it's bright with sunny intervals. That comes as a bit of a shock to me.
Well, you should be here in Yorkshire rather than in this little broom cupboard.
Well, maybe I should,
in the smoke and everything. But still, thank you for the forecast from London anyway, and I'm glad the Thames is looking good. The West Yorkshire is looking good as well this afternoon.
Yes, and the profits.
Now, you were born in London or near London. Do you have clear memories of your childhood when you were quite young?
No.
Not a single thing.
My dear friend Leslie Sands published a biography a few years ago. He's a Bradford man.
Yes.
I think the same as Priestley. I think
that's
Priestley
right.
Is Bradford.
He is, JB.
And Leslie's book is an extraordinary book. It's called Tuppence for the Rainbow. And his recall is quite... Well, intense. I can't think of a better word. Yeah. And when I talked to him about it, I said, I'm sorry, Leslie, but if I had to write anything, you know, I really, really can't remember. And I remember my first day at school when I was five, and I remember standing in the playground all by myself, and a little boy came up to me. Oh, he must have been a little boy, I suppose, at that. And he said, had no idea who I was. He said, why are you looking so miserable? And in fact, that is the position that my face takes up when I'm not actually thinking or doing anything. I just look bloody miserable. But I don't look miserable at the moment because I've just had a piece of shortbread. What was it? No, short something or other, a pie, which was lovely.
From the BBC?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, something's wrong here because we haven't got any of that here.
Ah, well, this is very exclusive because this is the sort of place where the politicians come. You know, I'm in 4 Millbank.
Oh, I see.
Across from the Houses of Parliament.
So you're mixing hobnobbing with the members of Parliament?
Jolly nearly.
Yes.
I haven't got any of them in here, though.
No. Oh, well, at least you've got some shortbread or whatever it is. We've got nothing here, but still, maybe some coffee on the way. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, not much of a recall for early years, so it could be a short Real Lives, really, couldn't it?
It could, yes. Yep.
You were an only child.
We
might be finished by a quarter past three, and it's an early finish for all of us.
Yep.
Yeah. You were an only child, though. You can't have forgotten that.
No. I mean, I can't have forgotten it, no.
Were either of your parents in the business?
My mother was a rather talented pianist. She was an amateur, and she accompanied an aunt of mine who was a professional. She sang at Covent Garden. Her name was Ruby Heil. My mother's name was Dorothy Barnard. And she was an accompanist and quite a good one, I believe, although I don't, you know, remember, of course.
We don't remember anything, do you?
I don't remember anything. Yeah. The only other connection is that I'm reasonably certain that my mother's mother, my grandmother, for some time kept a theatrical boarding house. I seem to remember my mother talking about it, and I think she still had one of the visitors' books. People in it, I suppose, that none of us would have ever heard of now.
So vague and tenuous connections, but they're there, aren't they?
Only just. But I was always interested in the theatre. My mother used to take me to the West End for matinees. We saw The Desert Song, I remember, and some of the early Jack Buchanan pieces, Sonny and Battling Butler and things like that. People of about my age will know the names. Incidentally, can you hear a sort of a creaking sound?
It's your chair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Actually, I either go on creaky or I play the whole thing standing up.
Yeah.
I think I'll stay where I am and try and keep still.
Well, just creak away, we don't mind. Are there no more chairs at Millbank? Is that the only chair?
No, there are two others. When you leave me, mercifully,
yes.
I'll go and swap them round a bit.
Do you want me to... Yeah, well, when I go to some music, you can swap the chairs, like musical
Absolutely.
Chairs, and then come
Absolutely.
Back, which doesn't squeak.
Yes, or a bit of WD-40. I'm sure they've got that. They must use it in Parliament.
Well, apparently, they do use it in Parliament. Yeah. Apparently, if you go to do an interview from Millbank, you either have a piece of shortbread and a squeaky chair. You can have one or the other, you
yes,
see.
Yes, well, I've got
you've
both.
Got, you've got both, yeah. While you were at school, was it always assumed that you'd follow your father's footsteps and go into the bank?
Well, not immediately. Well, obviously.
Well, I don't mean when you were five.
No.
I mean,
no.
You know.
When it was getting near to time to leave, my theory that I had was that if I never left school, I'd be safe. It was a lovely school. It was called Minchinden, which is named after the Minchinden Oak, which is still in Southgate, which is where Southgate was the actual place where the school was, and I lived in Palmer's Green then. Anyway, he was a bank manager, and he said to me, Peter, if you go into the bank, you don't have to, you know, but it is secure if you don't do anything naughty. You've got a job for life. Of course, Peter Levy, they can't say that anymore, can they? I mean, the bank is one of the
Then they lay
places.
Off people like everywhere else,
I mean,
don't
I,
they?
I feel so sorry for the people who, let's say, go into a bank nowadays. We don't know what's going to, they don't know what's going to happen to them next. Anyway, there we were. I was determined not to leave school until I could possibly help it, and I think I was about 23 when eventually I left.
You enjoyed school then, did you?
Yes, I did. Happiest days of your life, etc.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was a mixed school, but we had a marvellous staff and a marvellous headmaster, and the discipline was good. Nobody was afraid to be given the cane. And
you hold with that?
Oh, yes, within reason. Mm. Yep. And I think that if, you know, I can only say I was very lucky, and I certainly didn't want to leave and run the risk of actually
having to work.
Go out into the great wide world.
Yeah. Did you do any acting at school as a
no,
boy?
No, I didn't. I was never even in the school play.
Right.
No. My friend Reg was. He's dead now, I'm afraid. He played Casca in Julius Caesar. And when he said, speak hands for me, for some reason or another, the whole cast fell about laughing. I can't remember now what was funny about it. Just my friend Reg, I think.
So you left, you went to work at Barclays.
Yes.
And, I mean, you could have stayed there forever, really, couldn't you? I mean,
but I had a great ally, a great chum, a friend who got me out of the bank, and that was Hitler. And people have run him down recently, but as far as I was concerned, he was an absolute godsend.
Only working at the bank, but you also had a journey and a half to get to it as well, didn't you?
We were living down at Leon Sea, which is perhaps you don't know, it's on the way to Southend, on the Thames estuary. And we had a nice little flat on the front overlooking the estuary and all that sort of thing. But when I went into the bank, and indeed my last year at school, I used to travel up from Leon Sea to, first of all, Southgate, and then my branch in the bank was Bloomsbury. Barclays Bloomsbury. I had great difficulty in saying that.
Yeah, I can understand that.
When the phone went.
Yeah.
I was the junior clerk. I had to answer the phone.
Yes, that's not easy, is it, really?
No, it isn't.
So the war came along, godsend, rescued you from the... you joined the RAF, didn't you?
Yes.
Where were you stationed?
Cranwell, almost throughout the entire war. When I was demobbed, I'd reached the rank... I was an instructor. I trained people. poor chaps. I trained them in the theory of radio.
And you knew about that, did you?
Well, I was taught it by the... I had some quite good sort of matric marks, or whatever it was called in those days. O-levels, I suppose they'd call them now. And and I was... it's not funny.
No, you're very serious. You make me laugh.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, I know.
You trained them in the...
I was... When I did... Well, no, listen, how long have we got? An hour? Yes, oh, that's all right. Tell me when to shut up. When it came to Dunkirk and all that, and there was something rather ominous about living in Lee-on-Sea, you know. I mean, we seemed quite close.
It was handy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Handy.
And I thought, oh, no, I've never been brave. I've always been a coward. But I thought, I think I'd better do the decent thing. So I volunteered for air crew. And at the end of my, Viva or whatever, I passed that. But I failed the medical. And when it was all over and I had failed and I was leaving, it was Uxbridge, actually, and I was with another chap. And I think he'd failed for some reason or another. And we walked through the main gates, and as we did so, three young, bright, polished blue air gunner sergeants came towards us, and as they passed us, this chap said, "I bet they don't last 6 months." And it was an awful thing to say, and I, at the same time, I must admit, I did feel, I'm afraid, in my cowardly way, a sort of feeling of release, if not relief. And I thought, I'm quite sure that if I had past, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't, and so I went back in ground crew, and that was how I became was taught the theory of radio on account of my good maths and physics and things like that that I'd got at school.
Well, we'll pick up with some more on that in just a bit, and how you got into acting and everything. It's chair switch time now, because we're going to have some music. Nights in the Garden of Spain. Are you a fan of Spain, then?
Well, I've been there once properly when we went to Granada, and once half Spain when we went to Mallorca. But I did love it. Yes.
Granada is marvellous, though, isn't it? Did you go see the Alhambra?
Yes. Don't remember much about it. Again, by memory, it was about...
Well, you don't remember anything, do you?
No,
just do it and then forget it. You would have forgotten about this by tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Let's have some music. We'll talk again.
All right. Thank you.
live across West Yorkshire on this Friday afternoon. The time is 21 minutes past three. Nights in the Garden of Spain. My special guest this afternoon, I'm delighted to say, joining us from a shoebox in London, is the talented actor Peter Silas. And he's with us. That's his first choice of music.